And be not drunk, literally stop being drunk with wine, wherein is excess or no saving qualities, but be continually being filled with or by the Spirit, speaking to yourselves. Now, these next verses, you have all of 19, 20, and 21, all go back to be continually being filled. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God, even the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. Let's pray. Father, we ask that the Spirit of God indeed might be the one who teaches us today, and that you, our Father, would be glorified. It's our purpose as we speak today to be well-pleasing to you and to love the saints as we express some things that are dear to our heart. We just ask our Father that the Spirit of God would take things, apply them to the mind, and then perhaps, if need be, that some decisions would be reached. And as you do these things, we'll thank you, even as we do now, in Christ's name, amen. As we come to Ephesians 5:18, I want to get to my purpose today is to, we've been discussing verse 19 and 20, and my purpose is to hopefully discuss verse 21. We'll see. I wanted to clarify some things, first of all. There's a difference when it says the Spirit of God is that you have to be Spirit-filled. That's something that the Spirit of God produces. He does the work. If you're going to be filled by the Spirit, then the Spirit of God is the one who's filling up the lacking. It's something He's doing. It's a ministry of the Holy Spirit. If you read Chafer's theology, some other theologies, you'll see that they list different ministries that the Holy Spirit does. Now, we have a responsibility for Spirit filling. We have to, as we heard in Sunday school, we need to frame or restrict our thinking to things above. When we do that, the Spirit of God fills up a lacking. He's doing the action. There's different ministries that the Holy Spirit was sent to do in us. I left out one that's here, which is a convicting ministry, which is to the elect saints when the gospel is preached to get saved. But when we look at these other ministries that the Spirit of God is doing, it's something that He does. There's confusion here. I just want to make it so crystal clear, because it just boggles my mind how confusing it gets. The Spirit of God fills up the lacking. He does the work. He leads the Christian. We're Spirit-led. He's the one who guides the Christian to things in Scripture and brings understanding. He's the one who is the ultimate teacher of the Scriptures. He teaches the Scriptures. These are things He does. If we're in sin, He grieves. He produces, different than worldly sorrow, He produces godly sorrow. Worldly sorrow, I'm sad because I got caught. The grieving of the Holy Spirit convinces my mind that I'm causing sorrow to a person of the Godhead because he can't be doing these other ministries because I have unconfessed sin in my life and I have sinned against God. It's a work that he does to bring me to confess my sin to the Father, which begins to, what is he doing when he's doing that? He's grieving in me to cause me to confess my sin to God the Father, which brings my mind where? When you're confessing your sin, who are you confessing it to? The Father. And if you're confessing your sin to the Father, we heard in Sunday school, if you were there, where is the Father? In the third heaven. So if you're confessing your sins, that Father, thank you for forgiving me. I sinned. I'm responsible. I did it. Then where is my mind? Through Christ, I'm communicating to the Father. It's in the heavenlies. Do you see how this comes together? Now, I have a responsibility once I confess my sin, and the Holy Spirit's doing this. Now I have to put barriers on my mind as I confess my sin, and it's up there in the heavenlies. Now I have to restrict my thinking to keep it there. That's my identity at the right hand of the Father. And then quenching, when I'm not thankful and the Holy Spirit's bringing things into my life, we begin to quench his ministry. Not to put it out, but quench. These are all things that the Holy Spirit does to the believer. Filling is not this. By definition, being spiritual means to emanate things from the Spirit. Correct? You've been taught this before. I'm hammering it home because there's so much confusion, not necessarily here, but out there. Spiritual means to emanate things of the Spirit. Now, who is emanating the things of the Spirit? I am. Spirit is doing this, filling. Spiritual is not filling. Spirituality is the result of spirit filling, where I now can emanate things that come from the Spirit. If I'm emanating, showing forth things that come from the Spirit, then it's something that I am doing with God. God, the Holy Spirit, is doing this in my mind. We're going to get to this in a second. I am taking those things now and showing them forth. So these are things that I do. These are things he does to me. These are things I do outwardly. I'm spiritual. I'm showing forth characteristics of the Spirit. His ministry in my life is now being expressed out of me. Walking by the Spirit is not being filled by the Spirit. If I'm walking, filling by the Spirit is something that the Holy Spirit does to and for me. Walking by the Spirit is something that who does? Yet there's so much confusion that people make walking by the Spirit and filling of the Spirit, they don't seem to make a differentiation. I step by the Spirit, I walk by the Spirit, I'm spiritual, I have a responsibility to co-work with God and show these things out. This is what the Holy Spirit does to me, this is what I do as a response to the Spirit working in my life. Now, why am I bringing this up? Because the Spirit of God, as a result of filling up a lacking in my life, there's results that the Holy Spirit does in my mind. And in my mind, as we're looking at Ephesians 5, 19 through 21, one of the indications that I'm spiritual, I'm filled by the Spirit, and now I have the basis when opportunity comes to express out things of the Spirit, I have a mindset that is worship and praise. When the Spirit of God is filling up my lacking, putting down the sin nature, so now that the new nature can be shown outwardly, my mind is going to have certain characteristics. Why am I bringing this up? Because there are many people walking around, saved and unsaved alike, those who profess to have a knowledge of Scripture and those that are absolutely clueless, and they all talk about being spiritual. The Scriptures say in a Galatians chapter, 5:1, ye who are spiritual, restore such a one. So if 6:1, in 6:1, it says, you who are spiritual, which means that the one who is spiritual can know he's spiritual, right? But I don't know, because 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16 says that the spiritual man is not discerned by anyone else. You see, I can't read your mind. If I see you doing something that is a work of the flesh, then I can know you're not spiritual. But I can't know at any given moment if you're spiritual, but who can? You can. Now, what am I getting at? There are a lot of people claiming that they're spiritual today. There's a lot of people that are out there claiming that they are emanating things of the Holy Spirit. I don't know for sure if they're not, unless I see something opposite occur. Now, one of the things that the Holy Spirit is going to do is that you as an individual in your mind can know if you're spiritual. Is he's going and he's setting up a certain atmosphere in your mind. If you're filled by the Spirit, then you're going to have certain characteristics of mind. What is it? That's the result of Spirit filling in your mind. There's going to be certain characteristics. You'll have worship and praise for God. That's verse 19 of Ephesians 5. We've been looking at thanksgiving. You're going to have a thankfulness for all things in that context. Is that we are sons of the light. That we can awake out of darkness and Christ will give you life. I can actually no longer have to do all those things I did as an unsaved person. Basically, what it says in Ephesians 5. And as God is working in my life, to express out what he's made me, that I can be spiritual and awake from a graveyard and Christ will give you light, those things I can be thankful for. But I don't thank God because I've been an idiot and I sin and I say, oh God, yeah, I confess my sin, but thank you for allowing me to sin. No, that's stupid. Thank you for forgiving me. That's another story. There's a bunch of idiots in the Midwest who are saying you have to forgive God and all these other things. Worship and praise is a certain thing that he does. Thanksgiving, he has you thankful for all things. And then you have a submissive heart. These are the things that you personally can look. You can evaluate your own self at any given moment. Because you can be, you're either spiritual or you're carnal. You can either at any given moment be emanating things from the Spirit or have the opportunity, the ability to, when an opportunity arises, to express those things outwardly, or you're carnal. By the way, the fruit of the Spirit is also in your mind, love, joy. We're going to get to that eventually. When I show it forth, then it's my fruit, my love. Let your love increase. But when the Spirit of God produces it, it's in my mind. He gives me the ability to love. He gives me the ability to have peace. But I have to, as opportunity arises, use that. Okay, that's where I'm at. Anybody? I wanted to clarify this. Let's go back where we left off last week, what Thanksgiving is not. And on page one, what we had is, first of all, you can be thankful and angry at the same time. Thankfulness does not exclude anger. And sometimes Christians do need to get righteously angry. Some people have accused me in the past, sometimes righteously so, sometimes unrighteously. But sometimes they've accused me unrighteously of saying that I am not spiritual and I acted in an unrighteous manner because I was angry. You can be thankful. You can be spirit-filled. The Spirit of God is filling you and be angry. You can be spirit-filled and be thankful and be worshiping and praising God and still be angry as all get up. See that? That was a show of anger. You can express sometimes anger, especially you should be angry when people are using the scriptures in an unrighteous way. So Ephesians, we covered this last week. Ephesians 4:26 says, be ye angry, but what? It gives a limitation to that anger. But sin not. When can you sin? It says, let not the sun go down on your paraorges. If you keep that anger for more than a day, para means to bring something in parallel, something in alongside of that anger. So if you hold on to that anger too long and you're perpetually angry over a day, then you can bring other things in with that anger. What are some things that Satan can bring into that anger? Bitterness. Now you're angrily bitter. Disappointment. Discouragement. What can the flesh bring in? Envy. Wrath. Murder. Yeah. So there's other hatred comes, hatred then murder. So with your anger, these other things can be brought in alongside. So you get angry. That word orgase means to get angry, and it's an explosive kind of anger. It's one that you get it out. It's an in-your-face anger. Stop it! See, I'm picking on you. Okay? It says, stop it. That's not right. It's calling it the way it is. What you're doing is wrong. Then you let it go. You get it out and you let it go. You don't hang on to it. But what a lot of people do, and I notice this, back east, people get in your face. They do. But I noticed on the West Coast, it's almost disgusting. Around here, you got to be politically correct. So you can't go up to anybody and say, stop doing that! It's wrong! No, you can't do that. That might be offensive. You can't tell them even what that activity is wrong because everybody has a right to do whatever they want. This was another thing that was hard for me when I came from New York to out here is how politically correct the thinking is on the West Coast. I don't know, how is it in Texas? Do they just sell it as it is? Oh, they just took a little gun out. His gun. You speak volumes. But I noticed when we got to Portland, that was one of the things. I know Helen said when she went to the hospital and to work, they just couldn't understand her because she just called people out and said, that's wrong. And they would go, you're talking to me like that? They get so upset. And so nobody gets angry. What they do is they are angry, but there's another word for that in Scripture. It's called thumos. And they hold it in. And it's like a thermos. It keeps burning and eating in the inside. Man, why do you want to have a coal burning inside of you? Get out! Tell it. But when you do that, especially out here, people are going to say, you're not Spirit-filled. Because God forbid you got angry. The Scripture says, be ye angry, but don't hang on to it. What else is not? Being contentious. Turn to Jude chapter 3. Didn't I do that last week too? If you have Jude chapter 3, you got a wrong Bible. Jude verse 3. Jude is writing to a group of Christians that he's exhorting because men are creeping in and they're changing the faith. So he says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, all Christians share the same salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you to call you alongside of myself to get with it. Come on, Christians, get with it. That you should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered for the saints. When people come into the church and they change the body of doctrine called the faith for Christian life. It's what we live under the dispensation of grace, the one by faith. We direct faith to promises that are to the church. We live by faith, directing faith to the faith. And when someone comes in, and they usually are very subtle, and they don't just come in and change everything at once, but what Jude talks about here is they crept in unaware. They come in secretly and pretend to be your buddy, and they pretend that they're with you. And then what they do is very slightly, maybe 1%, maybe a little bit, they're just off a little bit. Do you remember a pastor that we had once that used to say, oh, but they're only off on one thing. It's only off a little bit. And you remember what he used to say? Okay, if I prepared a meal for you and I put only a little bit of arsenic in there, would you eat it? Let me even get more graphic. If I made dinner and I didn't wash my hands and I just was out there walking the dog, and I have some kind of debris on my fingers and I'm cooking dinner, would you eat it with that knowledge? Oh, but it's only a little bit. No way. But yet these people crept in and they were putting this garbage, this trash, just a little bit in the doctrine of the faith to change it. And what was Jude's response to the saints? What were they to do? And if you look in the context, it's based upon peace, love. You do it with love. You do it with a peace of mind. But what were you to do? Be what? Contentious. So what's another thing? You are to get contentious when someone is changing even a little bit. When he's changing Christian doctrine a little bit, you need to get contentious. What does that mean? You get in their face and you say, this is what the Scripture says and what your preaching is wrong. Why is it wrong? Because of this. The faith. What do you, where's your authority? The faith. What do you get contentious with? The faith. What you do is you take your scripture, you get in their face, and you say, either the word is right and you're wrong, or you're right and the Bible's wrong, but they're both not right because what you're preaching is not what this says. So you better get contentious. Does the contentious mean you're not spirit-filled? Can you still be worshiping and praising God and being thankful? And we'll look at submitting in a little bit, maybe. If you do that, you are to be contentious. What else is it not? Galatians chapter 2, verse 4. Paul writes in Galatians, the second chapter, the fourth verse, and that because of false brethren, that word is pseudo, they're phony, and pseudo means lying. So lying brethren unawares brought in, because false brethren unawares brought in who came in secretly to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not even for an hour. So you see, submission is to, we'll get to this, to one another. We'll look at it. You submit for the benefit that each is going to minister to the other to grow. But if someone's coming in spying out our liberty and want to bring in legalism, wants to bring in legalistic principles, are you to submit to that person? Paul said they came in, they were preaching legalism, they were spying out our liberty and trying to bring us into bondage, and we would not submit to them. No, not for an hour. No! So there is a time when you're not to be submissive. When someone's trying to change grace to legalistic law, you don't submit. So being not... not submissive to legalistic teachers, false teachers, is not an indication that you're not filled by the Spirit. You, in fact, if you're filled by the Spirit, you will get angry. If you're filled by the Spirit, you will be contentious. And if you're filled by the Spirit, you will not submit to legalism. Let's go on. What else it's not? 1 Timothy 5:19. An elder is a bishop, pastor, teacher. Do elders do wrong? Yes, they can. Against an elder, receive not an accusation. This word accusation has the idea of a place of public speaking coming down on someone publicly. Do you see that? This means to an elder coming down upon them publicly with accusation. He says not to do it, but upon two or three witnesses. You see that but? He says, yes, to an elder, you don't come down on him publicly, but there is an exception. What? When you have two or three witnesses that he is not acting or speaking appropriately, then what are you to do publicly? You are to rebuke an elder. So rebuking an elder, by the way, this happened to my dad back east. It's also happened to me and some others in this room. If an elder is wrong and he's wrong publicly, and you have more than two or three witnesses, then he is to be rebuked publicly, and it doesn't mean the person rebuking them is not spirit-filled. If you're spirit-filled, then you're not going to let that elder, the pastor, continue in the church to falsely lead the church. If you are spirit-filled, then you can rebuke him publicly with two or three witnesses. By the way, my dad was thrown out of a church because they rebuked an elder back east. And he was right. And the church went with the elder and they threw my dad out. It's so ridiculous. The pastor was stealing a kid's little car at an Awana contest and cheated to win. And so my dad called them on it. Everybody saw it at a business meeting, and they threw my dad out for bringing up that the elder stole the kid's car and rigged the race so he could win. It was a slot car race. It's like, what's the... Yeah. Rigged race? Plus, a grown 60-year-old man cheating a little 10-year-old? Give me a break. Rigging the race. We're off the topic. Let's get back to, rebuking an elder is permissible in Scripture and doesn't mean you're not spirit-filled. How about vengeance? If you do it the right way, turn with me to Romans chapter 12, verse 17. Some have said that vengeance is wrong, that you shouldn't. But this scripture does not say that you're not vengeful. It says that you're vengeful the right way. So in Romans chapter 12, verse 17, it says, recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Now, verse 20 is how you do it correctly, that the Lord is going to be the one who's going to avenge. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his what? Head. So the correct way to get vengeance is not to go over there and beat the guy up yourself, but rather treat him nice and do that, and then God will beat him over the head. Okay? That's how you do it correctly, and it doesn't mean you're not spirit-filled. So having looked at that, we've looked at that the one who is filled by the Spirit is going to have a certain mindset. He's going to be worshiping and praising God. He's going to be thankful for all things. And now we have to get into he's going to be submissive. So back to Ephesians 5:18. In verse 5:18 to 21, in verse 21, for time's sake, let's jump down there. He says, being submissive to one another in the fear of, and there's a textual problem there, whether it's the fear of God or the fear of Christ. Let's talk about this word submission. This word submission is hupotasso. It means simply, it's a compound of two words put together, and it means to arrange yourself under. To arrange yourself under someone else. Now, this word is used a lot in Scripture. that many times. I have no idea. I didn't count them. But I looked at every one of them. It's used in Scripture, and it simply means to arrange yourself under. But you don't know what you're arranging yourself under or for what reason unless you look at the context. It's used in all those different verses, and in all those different verses, there's different reasons why you arrange yourself under others. They're all not Ephesians 5. Now let's look at Ephesians 5:21 again, which is the result of spirit filling. The result of spirit filling is saying that you're going to be submissive unto what? What does your Bible say? One another. Do you see that limits that submission in the context? It's saying that the Spirit-filled Christian is going to submit to other Christians under the headship of Christ in this context to be growing, to be showing forth light, to be living out the Christian life, that we need one another. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says that the head, Christ, can't say to the foot, I have no need of you. In Ephesians, he already mentioned in here that from the head, the whole body works together. He's comparing it to a human body and it nourishes itself. Under the headship of Christ, we all have spiritual gifts. And the body edifies, builds itself up in maturity underneath the head. This is what he's talking about in Ephesians 5:21. That when you're filled by the Spirit, one of the things that's going to be in your mind is, you're going to have a mental attitude to submit to one another, other Christians, for what? For the benefit of serving the head Christ so that the body will be edified. The whole context here is a submission to one another, other Christians. Now I'm going to ask you some hard questions. So in Romans 13 and also in Peter, it says to submit to political leaders. By the way, it uses two different Greek words. We'll get to that maybe. But one of them is to arrange yourself under them. Is that Ephesians 5:21? Can't be. Can't be. What one word tells you it can't be? One another. I'll submit and arrange myself under government officials, but when you look at that context, you're arranging themselves under there for a couple of different reasons. One reason is because he's a diakonos of God, he's doing God's will. Number two, you're arranging yourself under him because of conscience sake, that you don't want to be breaking the law and have a guilty conscience that they're going to come and arrest you or chop your head off. So for conscience sake. Another reason is, it says, because of fear, terror. By the way, when it says servants to submit themselves to their masters, the ones who are just and the ones who are unruly, unjust, is that Ephesians 5? No. Do you see what I'm getting at? You will hear messages and you're going to read books that are going to tell you all of these are the same and the result of spirit filling. No, no, no. Why? Because of that one word. Submit to what? One another. That's the body of Christ and spiritual gifts submitting to one another under the head for the edifying of the body. Put it another way, it says to know what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord is the head of the body, and the way I'm doing that is by displaying it and submitting to each other to edify. Now, should we be submitting and arranging ourselves under government officials? Yes. Should I be submitting and arranging myself to a boss? Yes. But not for this. By the way, with servants, it says that you're not going to be terrorized. I've read all the contexts. And there's different reasons for submission. How about, here's a good one. Now I'm going to step on toes. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and following says, wives to submit unto their husbands, that even an unsaved husband might be won to the Lord without a word. You remember reading that? Is that Ephesians chapter 5, 21? Is the unsaved dude one another? Should a wife submit to an unsaved husband in 1 Peter 3, 1 and following? Yes. Is it this reason that's in Ephesians 5, 21? No. Am I making fine distinctions? Yes, I am. Why am I doing it? Because it's misused. By the way, if you look at it, 1 Peter 3, it talks about the woman so that she doesn't have to be fearing. You look at it. A lot of submission has to do with fear. This one is going to say fear of displeasing God or Christ. Because of time, I'm not going to go there. But on your notes, I put four different words that are all translated submit. They're different words. And a lot of the passages that they... Some books that you read are going to go back and say it's the result of spirit filling is the wrong word. So first of all, I've given you four different words that are translated subject or submit. And when you read Christian writers, so-called Christian writers, they confuse these words. What I'm trying to say is, it's not Ephesians chapter 5, 21. They're different words. So I read an article 2 or 3 weeks ago where a man wrote and said, this word submission is a military term and that Christians are to submit or subjugate themselves to the authority of other Christians. No, no. No, no. Let's see, one more time. No! This is an authority. This is arranging yourself under other Christians with their spiritual gifts, saying that I need this other Christian and this other Christian needs me, and it's reciprocal that as we're doing the Lord, the head of the body's will, we're going to be serving one another because this is how the body edifies itself in love. It's arranging yourself under one another for the benefit of doing the Lord's will and edifying the body to receive that benefit. So a Christian, back to summarize our message here, some Christians say they're spirit-filled and they're spiritual. Because they're spirit-filled, they're emanating things from the Spirit and they're acting spiritual. But yet they're unwilling to attend church services. We have a man who passed away, but you know who he is if I told most of you. He would not regularly, in fact, he came a little bit and then he just stopped coming to church services. And I asked him why, and he said, I don't like being together with other saints. Okay, is that this kind of a mindset? When we read in Hebrews that they had given up going to the church and returned back to the temple, is that this kind of a mind? A result of spirit filling? No, they're unsubmissive to one another. So first of all, a person can say they're a spiritual person, and what they mean by that, I have no idea. Or that they're filled by the Spirit, but they're unwilling to attend church services. Or even if you're not regularly coming to church services, I would say, you know, unless there's a reason, health or, you know, work pulls you away, so off, but you just don't want to come. That's an attitude of mind. Then I would say, it's time for you to best find out if you got this correct. Because what this is an indication, if I don't have these traits in my mind, then there's something else my mind's framed on. In other words, the Spirit of God is going to produce this kind of thinking in here, and if there's some other kind of thinking that's coming in here, and that's what I'm doing in my life, then something's wrong. What I'm trying to say is I'm probably not doing it very well. You can say you're this, you can say you're this, but if you don't have this in your mind, you're a liar or deceived. So if you have an unwillingness to attend the meeting, church services means the church only exists when we come together, the local church. So when we come together, you don't want to be here, then maybe you're not spirit-filled. If you have an unwillingness to submit to other Christians, you say, okay, but I don't need that person, then you got some kind of a problem. If you have an unwillingness to reconcile with other Christians and to get things right under the headship of Christ, I don't care what you say. You can go around and preach at a church and say everything else that you're filled by the Spirit and I'm emanating things of the Spirit, but when someone comes to you and says, let's get reconciled, let's get this worked out, and you're unwilling to submit to other Christians, there's something wrong with you. What is this submission looking at? It's not authority. It's not dominance. It's a reciprocal pronoun that I'm submitting to you, you're submitting to me. For what? To do the Lord's will, the head of the body, and for the edification of the church. It's not the world's wisdom. The world's wisdom wants to dominate other people, and so they look at this word submission and they try to make it a military term that you're to arrange yourself and say, yes, sir, in the military and be under another's authority. That's not this. It's reciprocal. I'm to you and you to me. And once you do that, the authority, yes, sir, lieutenant, military idea is out the window. This is not that. It's not dominance. That's the way the world works. That's the way Christendom works in the world. They want to dominate you underneath the church board, church leadership. I know the will of God. We had some arrogant man say, I'm going to teach you all what the will of God is and you come under me. That's all baloney. That's the way the world works. The world system works under dominance, under conquering, under doing that, under yes, sir, authority. No, reciprocal pronoun means I submit to you, but at the same way, you're submitting to me as we're both under the head. With this kind of submission, there's no rivalry. It's submission to one another. We're not rivals. I'm not envious. I'm not trying to be in competition to outdo you. I'm trying to serve Christ, and I serve the Father. I love the Father by loving His children. There's no rivalry with this submission. There's no competition. There's no self-exaltation. With this filling of the Spirit and submitting to one another, we're not trying to exalt one person over another. We're trying to serve one another, reciprocal, back and forth. There's no divisive pride. Not an inflated big head ego. Oh, look at the people that are following me, or you all obey me, and I get this inflated big head. With this kind of submission to one another, it's not an inflated ego, and it's not divisive pride. It's not rich and poor. Here in Ephesians, he's talking about servants, masters, slaves, different ones that were in the church. And yet he says that the rich man and the poor man, with this kind of spirit filling, are to submit to each other. It's not a rich-poor thing. By the way, in Grant's past, we had a very rich man and he split the church. For some reason, a lot of times rich men think because they donate some money that they can run and everybody has to jump to their command. But with this submission that comes from being as a result, I've got to watch my language, as a result of spirit filling, it's not a rich poor thing. You see, the reciprocal pronoun one to another means rich submits to poor and poor submits to rich in this way for the edifying. Just on and on. Education, age, nobility, non-nobility. This submission erases all of that. It's a reciprocal pronoun. So in a way, I can actually, to a youngster that's in the church or a teenager, there comes times where maybe I need to submit to him. If we're working and doing something and he says, Pastor, I need you to help me over here. Sure. Hey, he's a kid. I don't have to listen to him. Submitting to one another for the edifying of the body, not age, not rich or poor. It's to one another as we're under the head. And this kind of submission is freely given. It's not by coercion. It's not by guilt. It's something that's freely given. It's voluntary. It's mutual. And in this beauty, we have each one serving one another as we serve the Lord Christ. So people can claim to be spiritual and emanating things of the Spirit because they've been already filled by the Spirit and say all kinds of things. But you see, the scripture in Ephesians very clearly says, I can examine myself. Now, the wrong thing here is to start pointing at each other, but let's look at ourselves. And in evaluating ourselves, do I have a mindset that the Holy Spirit produces in my mind? You see, once I have this mindset, then I can emanate. See, He puts in my mind to worship and praise. I'm co-workers with God when I take that which He's putting in my mind, and now I actually do worship and praise. The Holy Spirit produces in my mind this mind of thankfulness. I don't generate it myself. We're told so much and given the idea that, oh, here you got a flat tire. You be thankful. Force yourself. Okay, let me. Oh, I hurt that finger, but let me get this. Ah, I'm thankful. That's baloney. You get your mind on the things of the Spirit, on the things above that come from the Spirit, and then He's going to put in your mind an appreciation. When I actually express that appreciation, then I'm emanating it out. He puts in the mind this beautiful picture of submission to one another under the headship of Christ as the Holy Spirit leads voluntarily. And when I actually submit, then I'm showing four things. But I can evaluate my mind. How do I know if I'm spiritual? What's in your mind? What's in your mind? I'll confess, this is serious stuff. Many of you know when I was in Grants Pass, I professed to be this. I'll just use my personal example. I had none of this. And I failed miserably down there. Hurt my wife, hurt my family. While professing to be this, you know what's in your mind. I knew what was in my mind. And I say now, thank God for His forgiveness. Thank God for a man like Laverne Schaefer who kicked me in the back and said, Orrin, it's a time to get busy again. Your dad did that. I pray to God that I don't do that again. How am I not going to do it if I'm Spirit-filled? If I allow the Holy Spirit to do what I can't do, and He fills up my lacking, and I can know if my mind's going astray because I can evaluate myself by these characteristics. So each one needs to ask themselves a couple of questions based on this message. Where do we go with this? Where is your mind? Is the Spirit of God filling you? What kind of attitudes is He producing in your mind? Well, He's going to produce this. If there's something different, then it's not Him producing it. Then you need to ask yourself, first question is, where's my mind? Self-evaluation. Stop pointing the fingers at everybody else. Let's start with ourselves. Where's my mind? Second thing is, if my mind isn't right, this is the even more serious question. Are you willing to change your mind that the Spirit of God might change you? Will you be willing to be co-workers with God, co-workers with the Spirit of God? He's going to change things. Ain't going to be the same. Are you willing? I did have one woman once in my ministry who told me, I don't want to believe that, because if I believe that, I know God's going to change me. And right now, I don't want change. She was honest. I respect her for that. She did change later on. So, self-evaluation. If we are here, let's do a little praise and worship. If we're not there, then ask yourself, are you willing to change? Father, thank you for this time together. Appreciate your word. Appreciate the seriousness of your word. Thank you, our Father, as we mentioned on Tuesday night, that the one who began a good work in us will complete it till the day of Christ Jesus. We thank you that the Spirit of God is not going to let us go. He will glorify us, and He'll continue to give us opportunities to get things right. We thank you for His ministry. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, you're dismissed. Oh, I guess I apologize a little bit. I had no idea. I wasn't watching the clock. It's about 25 to 22.